The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 18th day of May 2023. And tonight, this is Pledge Week. Folks, I got a brain right hit, come out of the chute. Hey, we already got a pledge. Looks like Jesse in Minnesota. Thank you, Jesse. Pledge 250. Wow. All righty. Phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Back there in the birdcage, man, we got him back in the phone booth. We got none other in there than, well, who's back there? Frank's back there, right? And let's see. What about Mr. Gay? Is he back there?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's little Lisa. See, she's here in the studio. She don't get out much.
Good evening, everyone.
Go on, get out. Go on. 88 pounds, folks. 88 pounds of pure... Well, 88 pounds. Anyhow, back there in the phone booth, we have Frank's back there, Randy's back there, and Eric's back there. And folks, listen, you got to give them something to do. They're back there waiting for the phones to ring. If you don't give them something to do, they'll get in trouble. They will. You know how they are. Okay. In between there, let me tell you, we got the dynamic duo. That's right. We got Style and Courageous, Craig.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Style. And, well, I'm going to tell you, Batman and Robin don't have anything on those two. You get them together, right? And, you know, Style, he's an up-and-coming blogger. Tell him about your blog site.
That's stylesrebelradio.com.
Okay, go listen to it, folks, and then report back to me what he's doing, because I need to know, okay? All right, and then way out yonder in Misery, the man of fame, the longtime preacher, pastor, the excelled parson, Joe Larson.
I'm trying to get over visualizing Style and Craig in those tights like Batman and Robin wore, and I'm trying to get it out of my mind before we start the show.
I wouldn't go there. That could drive you crazy. Yeah.
What?
That could mess your mind up.
It could, but you started it.
Yeah, but see, now they heard what you said, and now that's what they're thinking about doing, okay? In fact, it looks like Craig's got a cape on out there. All righty, there you go. All right, now tonight we have a very special guest right here live in the studio. She's a private eye. She's a gumshoe. Her name is Susan Daniels. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, be honest, with these folks in here, do they kind of scare you a little bit?
No, they're so pleasant. They're so nice. Well, no, that's, not at all.
That's good, because I might have you put a tail on some of them.
Okay.
Okay, I've been watching them closely here. Anyhow, boy, do we have a lot to get to tonight. And so, but guess what tonight, Joe? Joe, I hate to say it, but the last three nights, this is the first time ever where for three nights in a row, we came short of our goal. The three nights in a row. Now, we didn't come a lot short, but we came short. This is the first time that's ever happened. So, I'm pulling out all stops, and here's what I'm doing. I've got tonight, Joe, the Red Book. Joe, that Red Book. Let me ask you this. Is that one of the best books you ever had next to the Bible itself?
It is one of the handiest little reference books that I have, and I have a very large library.
Now, I've been studying and preaching the Bible for 50 years, and I use that. That book is a real help to me, too, right? And, boy, it is.
And it's simple, and it's very, very complete.
Folks, what it is, on every topic in the Bible, it gives you all the verses that apply to that topic. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, pastors love it because it helps. It really cuts down on our work and our research a lot. We have it there. Because, like, Susan, when you get to be Joe's age, you start forgetting things. Okay? And so,
especially when you've had your brain scrambled a couple times.
Yep. So anyhow, so here's what we've got. We've got that book for $50. No, $25. Any pledge of $25 or more. But they got to let us know that they want the Red Book. Now, here's what else we have. Foods That Cure by Dr. Cass Ingram. Foods That Cure by Dr. Cass Ingram. That book is dynamite. It tells you all the different ailments, the things you have wrong with the arthritis or all of the different ailments that one might have, diabetes, whatever. He tells you in there the correct foods to eat. Also tells you, you know, you have what blood type you have by what foods. Excellent book. Donation of $50 or more. Attempt a Cure. You've heard that? Dr. Peter Glidden, one of the best-selling books out there. It goes from A to Z on every kind of ailment, starting with arthritis or whatever, and he tells you the natural herbs to use to cure, to actually cure it, not treat the symptoms, but cure the disease. Again, $50, a donation of $50 or more. Now, and then we have, check this out, Joe. We have tonight, I Stand for the Flag and Kneel for the Cross, and Freedom Worth Fighting For, two dynamite CDs. Let me just tell you, folks, the songs on I Stand for the Flag and Kneel for the Cross. Here you go. Awake, O Israel, Better Be Right, Face the Flag, Forever Heroes, Get a Grip on Immigration, Heaven's Under Siege, His Way, His Word, I Am the Unknown Soldier. I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I've got a match in Dixieland by Larry Nixon. Never Had a Chance. Once Before I Die, Story of the Star-Spangled Banner. Tell Mom and Dad About Jesus. Eagles Gather Here. We Want This Country Back. Now, the other one, Freedom Worth Fighting For, has some of those very same songs, but all of the songs that you hear on this radio program, the ones that you like the best, folks, and this is the only place you can get them. Now, we have for $25 or more, but here's the deal. If you ask for $100 worth of stuff, say you got the Foods That Cure and Attempt to Cure, then we would throw in for free, a Red Book, or, you know, we would throw in one of the CDs, an extra $25 value once they get the $100 mark. Now, at the same time, there are some of you out there that are destitute, that are flat out broke. And if that's the case and you would like one of these CDs, give us a call at 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367, and we've given a lot of these away to people that are destitute. They can't afford, because we understand what it's like, right? And so we're out there to help people.
Exactly. There have been major health problems, problems with jobs, all kinds of things that happen in this world. And God tells us, as you do for the least of these, my brethren, you do for me.
All right. Boy, we had, let me see. What do we have coming in here now? We have what? Okay, starting with, what do we start with? Anonymous 100. I know. I see down here. We have Rose in New York, 50. Thank you, Rose. Carrie in New York, 300. Thank you, Carrie. Bob and Laura in Michigan, 75. Thank you, Bob and Laura. Alrighty.
And where was Anonymous?
Anonymous was 100. Oh, well, you don't know where Anonymous was. He doesn't tell you because he's anonymous.
Say, okay. Anonymous in somewhere.
Yeah. So, anyhow.
He really wants to be anonymous tonight. All right.
We're going to pick it up where we left off last night, Joe. Remember the title of the message?
First woman, wife, mother, and her name was Eve.
And Eve was the very first on a lot of things. We talked about that. She was the very first woman upon the earth. She was the very first woman to give birth. She was the very first mother.
First wife first.
First wife first, right? Yes. And we went through all of that. And
she was the oldest living woman.
Yeah. And she was the very first dressmaker. She was the first tailor, okay? And so she was the only woman ever that didn't have a mother, a sister, a brother, a father, right? Except for God the Father, right? And
right.
So she was unique in so many ways. But the other thing was, she was the most beautiful woman that ever existed. And we're going to pick it up where we left off. To quote from Milton's Eve again, "O fairest of creation, last and best, of all God's works, creature in whom excelled, whatever can to sight or thought to be formed, holy, divine, good, and amenable, or sweet." Yet again, Eve's original beauty is expressed in these lines, "That what seemed fair in all the world seemed now mean, or in her contained, or in her looks. Grace was in all her steps, heaven in her eyes, in every gesture, dignity and love. Eve was the first and the only woman born." Well, she was the first and only woman to come without sin, to come without natural sin. She was created without any sin. She was the only one. Now, being the first woman, Eve had no inherited sin. Coming from the hand of God, Eve had an advantage no other woman has ever had. She was pure, she was holy, with divine image, unimpaired, created sinless. She yet became the world's first sinner and introduced sin to her offsprings, and thus all since her were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The best and the holiest born, the race, have natures that are prone to evil. Romans 7:21, fashioned with innocence and sinless perfection, and endowed to all fullness and gifts of body and mind, and rich in eternal blessings, without spot or alloy. She yet transgressed in the sin with which she caused Adam to sin, fresh from the hand of God, with unmatchable grace and beauty of body and mind. Sin and ruin followed, and paradise was surrendered for a world of thorns, thistles, and tears. Well, we're going to pick it up tonight where we left off, because she was the very first woman, Joe. She was the very first woman to be tempted by Satan, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
And so here...
And she was also the first woman to experience sex. She
yeah.
and Adam being married, yeah.
And so, all right, so let's go take a look at, she was the first woman to be assailed by Satan. Satan didn't tell her. By the way, Sue, you want to just jump in if you have a question or comment, just jump right in.
Okay, thanks.
Now, Satan didn't tell her that, you know, to steal the fruit. I mean, he did it in a way. It was different, right? He just said, in a way, look at it, and speculate. I mean, doesn't it look good? Take a look at it. What do your eyes tell you? I mean, doesn't that look good? Look at that fruit, right? Problem of it is all the trees had fruit that really looked good. But with Eve, it was her sensual nature came out. She looked at that fruit, and she thought, wow, I bet it tastes good, right? And, you know, God's keeping that for himself, so it must be special, right? So anyhow, she was not only beautiful, but she had a very, very sensuous nature that tempted the delight of her eyes. And let's pick it up where, over in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 15, the Apostle Paul, he kind of had Eve's number, didn't he? And so, go ahead, John. Or
being a man,
Joe.
He had a pretty good understanding, it looked like.
Yeah, he sure did. So, go ahead.
Read all the way through, or just one?
Well, let's read verse at a time.
All right. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array.
Now, you know, that word shamefacedness, it means with reverence, with sincerity, with reverence, and with modesty. And so, in other words, why do you think he would have women? You know, isn't it something today, you know, when people talk about, boy, that woman's skirt is very, very short, okay? And they always talk about how women can tempt a man, or you say, you know, I've heard women say, any woman that dresses like that, she deserves to be raped, you know, when they talk about, you know, what's happened to these women out there. But all of these things, and the same thing today with what's happening with these idiots who want to have bathrooms for both men and women. You don't find too many women really wanting to go into the men's bathrooms, but you find a whole lot of these sicko guys, these trans things, wanting to go in and look at the little girls, right? So why is it that way? What do you think, Susan?
I have no idea. I wish I could figure it out, but I find it very scary, and I'm grateful that I don't have young daughters anymore, because I would worry about them constantly. It should not be allowed.
So it's because of their anatomy, right?
And so I would think.
So if you have these young pretty girls today, if they're wearing very, very tight clothes or whatever, or say low-cut blouses or whatever, would that cause a man to lust and sin?
Oh, of course. You know, women, especially the young girls, they're dressed totally inappropriately anymore. It's like anything goes. And it's inspired, I think, by these entertainers who show up at these ceremonies and things, and they're wearing see-through dresses. I mean, it's really appalling.
So it's their very anatomy that makes a women so much different than men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, you never hear anything about, boy, is that guy wearing a tight shirt, right?
Or, no.
Okay?
No.
Or, boy, look how short his shorts are, right? You don't hear that, right? No. Because there's a difference. And we knew there was a difference from the beginning, right? Democrats don't know that.
Well, occasionally you'll hear women say, he's got a nice butt on him, but that's about as racy as we get.
They better not say that about me. Okay. I won't put up with it. Okay. All righty. It's 888-281-1110. The phone lines are open, folks, at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. All right, where did I leave off there?
This verse, okay. Verse 9, it's totally...
No, hang on, Joe. I meant the Rita in Massachusetts pledges 200. Gail in Michigan pledges 50. Thank you, Rita. Thank you, Gail. All righty. So...
This verse, this 9 that we just read, is totally diametrically opposed to what society is today.
In every way, huh?
The idea of man and a woman, the wife would, or actually her body would be seen by her husband, so that, and not the world. The idea of modesty would keep people, there'd be less cheating, less rape, less problems in the world. But what he's saying here is we were meant to be more plain and more simple, and we were then to choose people more by their personality, their honesty, their integrity. The other things were also very important, and the world does just the opposite. They have this plastic surgery and the lip fillers and the liposuction and the, you know, color the hair and wear all kinds, like you were talking about, the clothing. It's Antichrist. It's really the opposite. It creates the chaos in society. It takes everybody's mind away from the good things, the good traits of a person, their morality, like I said, their kindness, their godliness.
I don't know, Joe, if it's the same today, but I know for several years in a row, the number one graduation gift that high school senior girls got were breast enlargements. That was the number one gift that their mothers bought for them. And I think they only do that for one reason, huh?
That's to attract. Well, look at the prom dresses kind of changed. They used to be pretty and feminine, and now some of the prom dresses are more like what the Hollywood starlets wear. They're nothing I would want my granddaughters wearing walking around in public. But it just shows how much the people don't listen to Scripture, don't understand. I'll bet most women have never heard this preached at church. In fact, you look at like Tammy Faye Baker, remember the piles of makeup and the big hair and the jewelry? And,
oh, yeah. Listen, now, we got to get on with this because we were running out of time for the scripture. So, but which becometh women professing godliness and good works, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, in other words, he's speaking specifically about what? Well, he's talking
women
about
in church.
In the church, right. In public worship, in women in worship. Now, and here's the reason he gives. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, where is it that the enemy attacks men?
In their pride.
In the area of pride. Even from the time we're little boys, you know, it's yeah, we're competitive, aren't we? I can run faster than you. My dog's bigger than your dog. And, you know, my brother can beat up your brother. I mean, even from the time we're little, okay? But with women, it was the area from the very beginning of discernment, huh?
That was the weakness.
And so we see this in time and time. Give me some very good examples in the Bible of bad decisions made by women. Well, we start with Eve. We no argument there. We know that.
I was just going to start there.
Go to Sarah, right? Sarah. Even God had told her, even though he had told her she was going to conceive, God had told her that, right? She still convinced Abraham to take Hagar, right? That wasn't Abraham's idea, was it?
No.
Okay.
But he listened to his wife.
Do you think Samson ever should have listened to Delilah?
I don't think he ever should have gone near her.
Those were some. Any time the man was supposed to make the decision, what God had told him, and every time he gave in to the women, it caused a real ruckus, didn't it?
Yeah, well, look at Herod's, Herod and I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. That caused a little problem there. It was a wife, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you know, Ahab found out he never should have listened to Jezebel, huh?
Yeah, the hard way.
Okay, so it was the area of discernment. So then he goes on to say, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety, okay? So Now, women are not to teach men. So is that to mean that they're to be cited in the church?
Well, I think it's like a lot of women teach Bible study as teachers.
But well, the older women are instructed very clearly to teach the younger women to be godly women, good wives, mm-hmm. and mothers, aren't they?
Right.
Okay. You know, so here then he says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, charity, holiness, and sobriety. Does that mean that if she has a baby, she gets saved?
No. It's not that kind of saved. That just having a child doesn't save her. It's a spiritual salvation. It's becoming born again. It's a little bit different, and I'm not sure I can explain it.
Well, here's what he's talking about. He's telling you that the very best ministry a woman can have in service to God is to be a good wife and a good mother and raise up their children in the admonition of the Lord. That's what he's referring to, the childbearing, to raise up children in the admonition of the Lord. So we'll be back right after this.
Become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take the something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the fact that the bad guys most all. We must take America back. We need friends.
All righty, we're doing our best, Steve. That's Steve Hawes saying that we're doing our best, Steve. We got to take America back. In fact, we were just praying about that just a couple minutes ago. All righty, we want to say Carice in New York pledges 300. Thank you. Geisa in Ohio pledges 150. Thank you. All righty, folks, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, you know what? We want to find out about the rubbish hauler's wife versus Barack Obama. And I can tell you who can tell us all about that. It's a lady sitting right here with me, Susan Daniels. Tell us about the rubbish hauler's wife.
Well, I guess I ought to explain first where the title came from. I was married to a man who owned a rubbish hauling company, and he was killed at the age of 37. I was left a widow with seven little children, the oldest 10, the youngest 14 months. And that was the starting point in my life. The book, I was encouraged to write the book because I went from there to this at 30 years old, knowing nothing or know how to do anything until I became a private investigator. And one of my clients, I've been an investigator for 32 years now. When a client of mine wanted me to do a background on Barack Obama, and he was already sworn in as president. And I assured them that I wouldn't find anything because everything would be secretive.
You should have called me. We found out all kinds of stuff about him.
Yeah, you know this.
Well, within minutes, because I have these proprietary databases I can use as a licensed investigator, I found his social security number and immediately knew it was a phony because it had been issued to somebody that was that lived in Connecticut. He should have had a whole...
I'm sorry, we did that on the radio, Pastor Ernie and I, just to let you know how sharp Pastor is. We did that on the radio years and years ago.
And you know what? She's the one who was with us back then. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Pastor Ernie had me on when I filed a lawsuit in Ohio in 2012 trying to keep Barack Obama off the Ohio ballot because he's a felon.
If I remember right, there was like four or five different Social Security numbers assigned to him.
Well, somebody else found a bunch of them, but what they did is they spelled the name differently. Like they put two R's in his first name, and okay. I think it was all part of a scam. But I could never complete the Social Security numbers to find out. But the one I was able to get to complete was the Connecticut one, and I immediately knew it was wrong. And from that point, I started an investigation and came up with enough evidence that I was able to file a lawsuit in Geauga County, and unfortunately, unsuccessfully. Because as I later learned, everybody in government already knew that he was a phony, that he was not even qualified to run as president.
He wasn't even an American citizen, U.S. And so,
he was. I believe I have uncovered where he was born, and all I'll say is it was not Africa, and it was also not Hawaii. But I obviously that's part of my book, you know.
So you got to get the book to find out.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
That'll work.
All right. You know? But the reason I don't tell people immediately is because they would discount it. They didn't. You have to understand where I started with the investigation to work my way to find where I think he was born, and I'm almost. You know, I'm like 90% sure that I have figured it out.
All right. Now, you had a couple of folks, a couple of very well-known men who we've had on this radio program that read your book and given you thumbs up, huh?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the writer Jack Cashel, who is a longtime friend of mine. In fact, he contacted me after he called me and he said, "I'm a writer and I keep asking people keep asking me about this Connecticut Social Security number." And he said, "All roads lead to you. Are you the one that actually found it?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And that was in 2011, and we've been good friends ever since. He, in fact, wrote the preface to my book. And then another good friend is Joel Gilbert, who is a documentary filmmaker who has a new book out and document called Michelle Obama 2024, because he believes she's going to be the Democrat candidate for president. And he did the cover for my book.
All righty, we've got to give that number out, 888-281. The phones have quit ringing. They got to start ringing. If they don't start ringing, we won't be here. Okay, it's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Don't forget, folks, we've got the CDs. And let me tell you, those songs that you've been hearing, these CDs are absolute dynamite. They really are. I mean, I got to tell you, they're all, you got Carl Klang, you got Steve Voss, you got yours truly, Old Pastor Ernie. But these are dynamite. And the only place you can get them is right here. And so, anyhow, only $25. We ask for a donation of $25, unless you're really destitute. And then you call us and we'll see if we can fix you up. Don't forget also, Attempt a Cure, Foods That Cure, those books, $50. We're asking a donation of $50. We need to raise some money. We need to do it quick because you know what? Summer's coming on. And for ministries like this, Susan, it's the worst time. Summer is the worst time in the world. People go on vacations and they're out there, and guess who they forget? Us. That's right. But the bill collectors don't forget us.
No.
No, they're right there.
Nope.
All righty. James in Illinois pledges 40. Okay. All right, so here now, your book just came out, and there's a lot of things in there, too, you know, about Barack Obama. Go ahead.
Right, but it's a memoir. So it starts with the death of my husband, and then it goes back and goes from my childhood all the way up to that leads up to Barack Obama. Now, one of the things that may interest people is there are some documents in there that show how they falsified him as a candidate. It's really interesting because I wasn't aware of it. Somebody sent it to me. I wasn't aware that Barack Obama had plastic surgery. There is a photo in there that shows him in 1993 and then one in 2003, and he looks like a completely different person.
Did you get into his exploits in Illinois as a drug dealer in Chicago?
No, I didn't.
No.
Well, Larry Sinclair is in my book, if that's what you're referring to.
Well, Larry, that was about his sodomy, okay?
Right.
You know, the Bible today, if you look at the characteristics of the Antichrist in the Bible, and all, you know, people wonder if the Antichrist is here today, and all the candidates out there, Barack Obama is the number one candidate, in my opinion, for being the anti. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but I'm saying if I had to choose, he would be the one because his name is actually in the Bible. He's referred to also as a sodomite. The Antichrist will be a sodomite. And you know, there's so many different things that apply to Barack Obama, especially what happened when he had his inauguration, when he became on the office. Just prior to that, they had in Washington, D.C., up and down Constitution Avenue, about every, I would probably say every 70 yards apart, they had vendors, and they sold those plaques. And those plaques had, they were about a foot high and about probably 14, maybe inches, a little longer, maybe closer to 18 inches long. And they had five ovals in them, and they started from left to right in the bottom left-hand corner with Abraham Lincoln. Then at 10 o'clock, you had JFK. Right at 12 o'clock, you had Martin Luther King. 2 o'clock, you had Robert Kennedy Jr., and then Robert Kennedy. And then at 4 o'clock, you had Barack Obama. Now, what was the similarity between the first four? What, they all had one thing in common. What was it? They were all assassinated, and they were all shot in the head. Okay, and the Antichrist suffers a severe head wound. He's killed by a severe head wound. Okay, and here Barack Obama is the fifth person in there.
Have you noticed the scar on his head? The one that starts on the right side of his head and goes all the way around to the back?
Mm-mm.
It's very noticeable in some of the photographs when his hair is really short. And I always wondered if that was one of the reasons he wouldn't give up his medical records. It looks like a bad surgery because the line is not straight.
When he had brought the altar of Zeus over here, he had brought all the way over from Germany. Now, the altar of Zeus is called the seat of Satan there in Revelation chapter 2, called the seat of Satan. And it was the largest sacrificial altar in the world. He had it brought in from Germany to Denver, Colorado for his coronation. And he stood out there on the steps of this And do you remember what happened, Joe, when he was standing out there on those steps?
See, you're talking about the one with the flies?
Yeah.
Coming, or the
a fly kept landing on his lips, okay? And what is the, who is Beelzebub?
Lord of the flies.
All right, that's the name for the devil, okay? But what else took place? Something else happened right there, too.
A rat ran across in front of him.
Yeah, it was really something. It was so sinister. But everything about him, you know, spells Antichrist. All right. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Now, there are many Antichrists here today. but I'm saying, I'm not saying Barack Obama is the Antichrist. I'm saying, in my point of view, he's the best candidate. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. And we go to Isaiah chapter 14, and we see that his name is actually there in Isaiah 14 in Hebrew, and then in Luke chapter 10:18. Again, his name is there twice, so... That's kind of not just what you would say a coincidence, would you think?
No, not at all.
All right. What do you think about that, Joe?
I think I was trying to remember the one was Obama and the other Barack falling as lightning. And
yeah,
Obama,
the Lord Jesus has said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
From heaven.
Right now, remember the word heaven there is what? In the Hebrew, that word heaven is Bama. Bama.
Bama.
Okay. And the word there for lightning is Barak. The word there is Barak. And so there you have in one sentence, Barack Obama.
Amazing.
In one sentence, yeah, it is. But.
I wish I had known that before I wrote my book.
Well, if you'd asked me these things, I'd tell you.
That's you're what... the investigator.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, let me take you over here to very quickly to Isaiah 14. And then there's a whole lot in her book that people really need to see because it's a lot more than just about Obama.
Okay. Oh yeah, he's just a small part of it. I have a very long chapter on a variety of different investigations I've done through the years, and how I did them. And I think that'll really interest people. What I'm hoping is, because it was such a long, hard road for me raising my children alone, I hope it's encouraging to other women who are having a hard time, that that it gives them some hope that they can make it too.
If we go over there to Isaiah 14, he says this, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. This is Satan. But the word there, it's interesting things, okay? The word heights there, okay, in the Hebrew is Obama. And it means the elevated one, the elevated one. Now, the ultimate, and that's spelled U-G, Obama. If you just went and you took the U-G off and just had the word Bama, then what you have is the high place. So the ultimate high place is heaven. But if we go over in Ezekiel, and I believe it's Ezekiel, if I remember, 20:28, or was it, let me see if I can, but it talks about the high place where they sacrificed the children. And that was, and I can't get the pages apart. These pages are so thin.
Is that like the adrenochrome that they talk about now?
Yeah, that is very, very prevalent right now today. It's unbelievable,
right.
The adrenochrome here.
Right.
What has taken place with the sacrifice of the children.
Well, there's 85,000 missing immigrant children. They have no idea where they are.
Well,
and the government just seemed to lose them. Well, in fact, go back. I remember doing stories on the children in Florida that were in foster care, and they kept losing children all over. And then there was another state that all of a sudden had lost hundreds of children. It's been kind of one of those stories. It's never quite made it to the, you know, big headlines, but a lot of the different states have had a big problem with children missing from foster care, and you wonder, where did they go? What happened to them? And nobody ever seems to come up with an answer.
Well, it's like they don't care, like they don't want to look and try and figure it out.
That's because,
you know,
all of the, what they call,
find the truth, they won't like it.
Mainstream media is told to totally ignore it. They take.
Well, they're also involved in it, I think.
Absolutely. That's, you know, so. Yeah, the Democratic Party is flush with pedophiles.
Absolutely.
In fact, this is why they want to make pedophilia legal. They really want to push a bill and make it legal.
Oh, and then what comes after pedophilia is bestiality.
Well, you know, it's a question of what is the worst crime, pedophilia or even sodomy. Sodomy or bestiality, which is the worst crime? Well, actually, the worst crime is sodomy, and here's why. Because with sodomy, you've got at least two men involved in this, right?
Right.
In the bestiality, you've got one man and an animal.
Right.
And the animal, even though Peter Sanger says that bestiality is okay, sex with the animal is okay as long as it's consensual. I'm not kidding you. Okay.
I remember reading that going, what is wrong with this guy? The animal consent?
He says as long as it's consensual, then it's moral. Now, this is the same guy that says that you should be able to keep a child after 2 years after he's born to decide whether or not to keep him or kill him, okay? But he said the only exceptions is with chickens. Because sodomy can be lethal to chickens.
I'll tell you a story about chickens that's in my book. My husband, when he was 14 years old, he was always in trouble, and he was sent off to a bad boy school called Jibo in Indiana. And who do you think was there? Charles Manson was there at the same time. And I asked him about Charles Manson, and he said he was very weird. And he would have sex with the chickens and kill them.
Jeez. Boy, if the Democrats found out, he'd run him for the presidency.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, there you go. That's unbelievable. James in Illinois pledges 40. Anonymous in the Bronx, 100. Anonymous someplace else, 20. And Nancy in Wisconsin pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. And just, I want to remind everybody, too, the thing that's held the ministry together for many, many years have been small $10, $20 donations from a lot of faithful listeners that have sent in. A lot of them don't call and pledge, but many of you out there, only just a very small percent of listeners to a show like this ever receive any money. And if we had, you know, 5 or 10% of the listeners out there sending us $10, $20, we would not have to do a week of fundraising. We could go for several years without having to mention money. It is not what the thing that we like to do. None of us in this ministry take any money. Pastor Ernie, in almost 50 years in the radio, never taken a dime. And no one working with him's taken any money. We all donate our own talent, time, talent, treasure to keep this going. We're doing the work for the Lord because that's what he called us to do, not because we're trying to get rich, famous, or anything, but we're trying to be obedient and do as we've been called. And I just want you to prayerfully consider, I know many of you have never donated, and this would be the time that would really help us if you would change that old habit of listening and not helping and become a contributor. And just remember that the good Lord has said if you support a ministry that the work blesses him in any way, you share in those blessings. And we have King's Word School, the Bible teaching, the scripture. We have prison ministry.
Right, yeah, you know, but well, Joe, I got to break in because we're coming to a hard break. And
okay.
tell us, Sue, how can people get the Rubbish Hauler's Wife versus Barack Obama?
The only way you can get it is to go to Amazon.com. And in the search box, you can either put my name, Susan Daniels, and then scroll down till you'll find it. Or you can put the title in, The Rubbish Hauler's Wife versus Barack Obama. You can find it either way.
Well, there's a lot in that book. I mean, a whole lot that we're going to talk about here in the near future. So, and in fact, I think that book will be available right through this ministry here.
It's already available, and it's a very reasonably priced. The paperback is 273 pages. It's $14.99. A Kindle version is available for $9.99.
All right, very good. We're coming up to a hard break, and when we come back, boy, we're going to have lightning rounds. So, all right, Dionso, how do I pronounce that? Dionisio pledges 20 from New York. Thank you, Dionisio. 888-281-1110. We'll be back right after this. And we have 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.